Praise God. In Jesus' name, we give you all the thanks, Father, for your Son. Lord, we are so grateful today that the Father that you are, you did not spare your Son. And Lord, thank you again for you freely giving us all things in him. Thank you, God, that you have blessed your sons with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Lord, thank you that if you be for us, who could be against us? Father, I just glory. I thank you so much that I am your son. Hallelujah, for now are we the sons of God. And I am so grateful that you are my Abba Father. You are my dad. And I glory that it is my Father's Day. And I thank you, Lord, that you do rejoice and give thanks for your sons. Lord, because your only begotten, oh, he was the one that brought many sons to glory. And I thank you, God, that again, you've touched us by your grace. You've touched us by the blood. Oh, may this just be all pleasing to you, because by your grace and by your spirit and by his might, we're here to magnify the beauty of your Son. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to speak here to the fathers today. And that doesn't just, I want you to understand, not just to ones that have children, but I'm talking about even those ones, even more importantly, the fathers in faith. As it says there in 1 John chapter 2, about those fathers that the Lord has grown up in the Lord, that encourage the younger ones to grow up in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And see, we know in the Word of God, he says in Christ, see, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. We are one in him. So this, praise God, is this endowment of the love of God we're speaking of in vessels that take on, praise God, the Father's heart. But in Romans 8:31, we'll begin there. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And here's how much God is for you. He that spared not his own son. See, God gave Jesus completely, fully, without any reservation. He gave him completely over. Praise God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely, freely give us all things? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Get that, brothers and sisters. I don't need to work it out of God. I don't need to merit it out of God. Praise the Lord. He just freely gave it to us all in one in his Son. All because he's so loved. Thank you, Father. And I'll tell you, it really is a lifetime battling with our flesh, with our stupid, dirty self-righteousness, that we, our instinct is, well, I've got to merit something here. I've got to earn something here. What don't we get about free? I'm so thankful that I heard my pastor say that a long time back. What do you not understand about free? It's free. It's been given. It's yours. Take it. Hallelujah. That's what the grace of God is in just one dimension of it. But it is so beautiful. It's free. Freely given. And notice, he gave us all things. All things. Everything we'll ever need. Everything exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think need. He has already supplied. You have already been endowed. We talk about this every Sunday, and by the grace of God, till he come. And then we'll rejoice on it forevermore when we're with him. But we have been born little lords of all. That means You have been freely blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You've got it. You have inherited it all. And all he wants you to do now is freely grow up into all of it. But you can't get that because you think you have to do something. You think you have to earn something. You think somehow you can separate yourself from that love because of some deed, because of some awful event in your life. But God, in this same chapter 8, as it goes on, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the conclusion is, nothing, no way, it can't happen. Because he spared not his own son. Praise God. Now, in that, yes, he freely gave Jesus. The Father freely gave Jesus fully to the will of God. He didn't hold back at all, did he? How wonderful to think of all that suffering. How amazing to think that the Father, and remember this, God is love. Loved so much that there his son had gone all that way, taking the cross upon his back, carrying that, being nailed upon it, all of this. And here he was, being made sin for us who knew no sin. And the Father at that moment had to turn away. Can you imagine? No, you can't. But the love. The love that he loves his son with. But yet he so loved the world that he fully, freely gave his son. Amen. Now, he gave him fully over to the will of God. The purpose, praise God. So you think about the glory then. The glory to the Father. The glory to the Son. The many sons that the first begotten would bring to glory. And all I can say to that is hallelujah. And what I'm led to emphasize here today is the promise of that full glory. The promise of that wonderful expression of love that, again, for the ages to come, is realized by us the same way. When we do not spare any part of our lives, when we do not spare any part of our children's lives and instead give it all over to all the perfect and complete will of God. Amen. Amen. No matter how bad, brothers and sisters, it hurts, no matter how painful it may be, the Word of God, and especially in this wonderful testimony of God's love to us in His Son, the glory that shall be revealed in us, it's not worthy to be compared. All right, now, let's turn on over to Genesis 22. And I love that God, in His great mercy and His great grace, see, not only does He give us proof in Him, but in Him, in the saints, He gives us testimony and proof of this joy and glory, and He proves it in His vessels of grace and mercy. And in Genesis 22, let's begin reading about Abraham, who he proved this in verse 1 of Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Understand this, that word tempt means he gave Abraham a trial. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, again, I'm sure most everybody understands, this was the promise, this was the son that Abraham waited for of God. For years and years and years, and God finally gave him that wondrous miracle at the age of 100. Praise be to God. And now God is telling him, You take that son, you take that only son, you take that promise, that one that you love so, you get on up there and offer him up to me on that burnt offering on the mountain that I'm going to tell you. And here was Abraham's response. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the word for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I mean, this fella got up early, first thing in the morning, and he clave unto that wood. There's an embracing there. He said, this fella's nuts. I'm sure those in the village said, what in the world's going on here? But Abraham, you know, that was one thing about Abraham. He didn't even tell those two guys that went with him what was going down. I think of that as such a testimony. Now, there'll be times that the Lord will have us to share things with one another to pray for. But I sure loved this brother. He went into a trial, and he wasn't trusting anybody but God. He didn't get a big committee around him. He didn't make this a big thing. He said, I know this is a small thing to God. He's promised me my son, and I'm going to expect him and be confident in him to keep the promise. Praise God. Jump down now to the 9th verse of that 22nd chapter. Abraham said... My son, God will provide him a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together. 9th verse. And they came to the place which God hath told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand. And took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. And said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand unto the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Wow. Abraham did not spare Isaac. Abraham, by the grace of God, gave him fully over to the will of God. And oh, what promise was the result. Praise be to God. He sowed bountifully in that son. He not only trusted God that he would give him a son, but he trusted God that once he gave him that son, that God would keep his son. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, you talk about conviction to this papa. And in that, he completely gave him over to the Lord. And when the Lord called for Isaac's life, Abraham did not withhold a thing. Like I mentioned early, Abraham didn't contemplate. He didn't moan. He didn't drag his feet. My goodness, that brother got up early the next morning, saddled everything up, clave unto that wood, and said, let's get on up there. Everybody's head's dropping. My goodness, I have no faith. Abraham felt like that too. But God had brought Abraham to this place. That God had already provided all the faith for Abraham. God knew what would meet him there. And I thank God that they had this wonderful communion. And God has brought that same faith to us. That bountiful sowing and planting and believing and following the word of God. What a harvest we have in our life. What a bountiful reaping, praise God, we receive even in our children. This was a son, brothers and sisters, that would grow to listen and even to hearken unto what his parents would say. This was a son, can you imagine this, get this young people, that even allowed his dad to send out his servant to find him a wife. Boy, and I'll tell you what, if you saw what that servant brought back for Isaac, he brought him back a Rebecca. There wasn't even a 10 couldn't even describe that one. There wasn't even a scale for her. Yeah, amen. You know the story, that woman, I'll tell you what, everybody desired her. She got old, didn't matter. Stunning from every angle. The kings wanted her, didn't they? Yeah. Took her and God said, oh no, Isaac, she's yours. Gave that king a dream, scared him half out of his wits. This your wife? Get her out of here. Oh, I love the Word of God. But you see, brothers and sisters, blessings, 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 blessings. He spared not his own son. And you know what? Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He didn't divvy it up. Everything went to that wonderful, beloved son. Now that's rejoicing. I have to tell you, I say, oh, thank you, Lord. What encouragement that is to my heart that the Bible gives us this absolute confidence and promise that, you know, we do believe the Word of God. We sow the good seed, and there's going to be a time of reaping. But the Bible is also very clear on the alternative. The Word of God is always vivid that the truth is the truth. And there is a sorrow whenever we do not heed to God. Turn on over to 2 Samuel 19. David, what a sweet brother, a man after God's own heart. But David had a son that he spared. See, the Bible says that God did not spare his son. Abraham, we just read of the testimony, he did not spare his son. He freely gave his son fully over to the will of God. But David had a son that he spared. David wavered in his emotions and feelings for his son and allowed that to come between the perfect will of God concerning his child. Brothers and sisters, I'm not getting after David. I'm just telling you something. This is our old man. This is exactly where we will go. This is exactly our first knee-jerk reaction as parents if we don't look to the Word of God first in rearing our children. But David maybe buckled under his fear. Have you ever been fearful as a parent? I have. Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. And the Word of God's perfect love. Amen. But again, there's a lot of wind out there of doctrine, isn't there? You know, Spock's old. And that wasn't from Star Trek, by the way. But the making of books, there'll be no end. How to rear your children. How to raise them. Basically to go right to hell. It's the truth. How to raise a godly child and to have a very unruly child. The Bible says you train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And you know what the Bible says about youth? Get the things of thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In all thy getting, get understanding. Get that wisdom. Get the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. You sow that in there, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. You know you always got the foundation. And notice the Bible says when they're old, they won't depart from it. Oh, there's times maybe we see our children in different things. I understand that. But I'm still believing in the grace of God. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Now, Lord, you told me this in the Word of God. I understand that. But you know what? Give me sons like Isaac. Give me ones like Joseph. You can take them even into the heart of the ungodly. And you know what? And still raise up a man of God. Amen? Oh, I love that. See, I don't need to fear the world. I don't need to fear man whose breath is in his nostril. I train my children in the way that they should go. And I know that they've got a father that chastens them because they are his son. And I thank God, and on my knees, and as my mother would get on her knees, and as her mom and dad would get on their knees for her, the chastening of the Word of God. Oh yes, praise the Lord. And the only thing I pray is, Lord, I know your promises are there for when they're old, but turn them now. Turn them to this joy now. As I heard Brother Hill say time and time again, the only thing I regret in my life was the years that I wasted that I didn't turn to God. That I didn't turn to God earlier in my life. But thanks be to God we have here and now. And I don't need to go back in those times that I know that there were difficult issues and things of that nature. I rejoice now that, Lord, you've brought me to this place to trust you fully, to again not spare my life nor my family's life, but to go on for all the perfect and complete will of God. But see, David, he had a son that he spared. And he may have buckled under fear. He may have allowed his natural love to get in the way somehow that he was going to protect Absalom. But in doing that, he did not fully trust God and his word for his son. He flinched at taking the boldness of the love of God to stand against Absalom's rebellion. And you know what happened? It didn't get better. It didn't. Absalom's defiance grew more. Absalom's defiance grew so much that he coveted the kingdom. Absalom's defiance grew so much that he was there and wanted to overthrow his father. At the city gates of the kingdom, Absalom would openly mock his father. And David would never lift a hand against his son to stop it. And the results were almost complete destruction. The result of that was a civil war right there in the kingdom. You ever had a civil war in your own home? Huh? If you got one now, it can stop. It can. Stand on the word. Sweet to the mouth. You were all smiling a moment ago. Gets a little bitter to the stomach, doesn't it? It happened awful fast, too. Didn't have to take a lot of time. Reality hits home real quick. God's after you, honeys. He's after me. I get this. I can preach this because I have a testimony of it. You try to compromise. You try to cut a deal. We've talked about these things before. God's bringing it out in another way. You stand in your home for the word of God. You make opportunity for the camel's head. He's going to be in the tent. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Absalom was not stopped. God help us to stand. David's wisdom in even leading the people, it was gone. It evaporated. He wasn't thinking right. David was so consumed in sparing his son that Joab was used to even wake him out of this. Let's go ahead and read this part in 2 Samuel 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weeps and mourns for Absalom. See, Absalom was just slain. Hung on his hair on that tree, and Joab thrust it through with the darts. And that victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king grieved for his son. They loved David. And the people got them by stealth that day in the city, as people being ashamed steal away when fleeing battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, oh, my Absalom, my son Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons, and the lives of thy daughter, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. That's quite a statement, isn't it? You see how confused we can be? How, in a sense, absent any rational, godly thinking can be? Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one of thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king to sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. All that David did to pacify and to coddle that ornery son, all of that loss, and it still cost his son's life. A promise, brothers and sisters, and there's so many layers of truth in this. Don't get me wrong. There's so many types and shadows in this beautiful passage. But this is the one God is emphasizing today. Brothers and sisters, there was a promise that was right there that could so easily have been had by standing for the truth. And if we too choose not to stand, this same defeat will meet us every time. The Word of God calls out to us to stand, to simply stay in the truth. Don't look to other things for your answers or your remedies. Don't listen to that enemy's voice of compromise. The enemy's voice that when it gets really hot and heated, oh, I got to take a break. We got to do something that's convenient for the moment. That's when disaster sets in. That's when you're going to have such a leanness that results from bad decisions, brothers and sisters, that there is a grief and despair that can be the greatest of your entire life. And as Joab told the king, David, he said, you don't snap out of this, buddy. It's going to get worse. Now, there may be some in here today that's in this state right now. And I'll tell you what, God will send a lot of different things, but it's still God's word. And right now, it's time to stand. It's time to arise, and praise be to God. We preach a message by the grace of God that I want to rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, start acting like a king right now and go sit down. And allow the reigning by the grace of God to reign. It's not you. It's the grace of God that's with you. Oh my. Brothers and sisters, so simply, go fully after the Lord. Go fully after the Lord. And go fully after the Lord for your home. Go fully after the Lord for your family. Do not withhold a thing. As sweet Abraham, there was a tough choice to be made. But God said, you offer it, son. You offer it. There's choices you're being made right now in your homes. Go get the wood. It's time to get to the altar. It's time to lay it down. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's cooking going on. Oh, my goodness. But see, it's all going to come from the confidence that Abraham had. I believe the Lord. I know that God is faithful and true to his promises. I know that they're yea and amen. I know that it's impossible for God to lie. I know that the devil is the author of every lie there is. I know that God is going to allow the enemy to have time and occupation to be around me, to whisper these things to me. But God is allowing that to show how faithful and true and to try my faith. This isn't some sick game. This is the trying of your faith that's more precious than gold tried in the fire. Amen. He put us in this world. And by His Spirit, He can keep us from the evil in it. And that evil, I'm telling you, oftentimes is just, it's those lies that just try to sway you, to get you to veer just a little bit. But by the grace of God, how many times have we talked about, and I really found this out becoming a pilot. I got a course. Go to here. Oftentimes I go to Kansas City, I go to Minnesota, go out to San Francisco. Man, it's cake, glass of water. I got GPS now. I put it right on that heading, bam, that's where I'm going. But you know what? Not even 1 degree, a half a degree, a quarter of 1 degree. And I'll tell you what, not only am I not in San Francisco, I'm somewhere in Bakersfield. But at least I could go see. No, I'm just teasing. But you get it. There's a mark. What mark do you want for your life? And I know the mark you want. You love Jesus. That's the mark. That's what you're marked with. We're not under some onus of an eye looking at us. It's the love of God. And I can see it in you. And I thank God He's given that to you. I love the Lord. I want to respond to the Lord. I want to go fully after the Lord. Well, by the grace of God, stand. That's the suffering, is just to stand. I don't need to try to get self-induced suffering. That's not suffering anyways. You stand in your home. You stand in your work. You stand in your life. You stand by the grace of God against your... And I'm telling you, it's not against flesh and blood. You're not standing against your children or your brothers or sisters or cousins or sometimes spouses or whatever it is. You stand in the Word of God. And what did Abraham realize? Oh, the Lord is my shield and my exceeding great reward. What you want? What you want? I believe the Bible said that Abraham's the father of us all. The faith. The faith. Never changed. Never changed. And by the grace of God, realize. No. Apprehend that wood. Get up early. Amen. And understand He's your shield. And thy exceeding great reward. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You again for Your love to us. Thank You for Your encouragement. Lord, we know it's all because of the love of God. You draw us in Your love. Thank You, Lord, that we're becoming attentive to Your Word. And help us to be vessels of that wonderful light. That, Lord, it's not just here for a moment, but God, it's always there. That we take it with us. That, Lord, You would show and shine out from our lives. That we would be ready to give every man an answer that inquires about the hope that lies within us. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name, for these daddies here today and all of these parents, God, encourage them. Encourage them to believe Your word more. To want to stand in truth and love in their homes more. To say, admittedly, if they've been going in the wrong direction, to say to their spouse, to their children. There's no explanation except, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't trust God for our home. I didn't trust God for this. But God, and but now, we're going to trust the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And how wonderful and refreshing. And God, how beautiful when we lay aside that weight. Where we just trust God and quit trying to make a way on our own way, which is a no way. May we cease from our own work and enter into the rest of God, which is His Word. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You beyond. Thank You, Father, that You did not spare Him. Thank You that He's ours. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.